And 76, Roy Clark and the Oaks take on a little trip.
Right. That was our exhibition trip to the Soviet Union, where they'd never had a country music performer before. And we went under the auspices of the State Department's Cultural Exchange Program. It took 2 years to put that together, and it was a fabulous success. We played there 19 sold-out concerts. We were there for 21 days. And a lot of people said that we did more good for the relationship between the two countries than anything else that had ever happened.
I'm taken with your statement it took 2 years. People think that some of this stuff just happens overnight.
Yeah, almost everything takes time.
In that two-year period, there probably had to be times when you thought, you know what, I wonder if this is even going to make it.
Well, that's true. And sometimes you get close to making it work, and there would be some diplomatic relationship that would go wrong or some incident of some type. Then everything would come to a halt, and you kind of had to start all over again.
When you finally got there, and the first time you knew these people were hearing country music for the first time, that had to be that gnawing in your brain saying, boy, I'm wondering, is this going to go over or not?
Well,
feel confident.
We felt confident that it would. First of all, with Roy and with the Oak Ridge Boys, this might not have happened with any other act. Roy Clark can entertain anybody, anytime, anywhere. No problem at all there. The Oak Ridge Boys, because of their harmony, people love vocal harmony. We knew that the Russians did because they have those great choirs and they've got all those big basso singers and everything. So I wasn't so concerned about that. I was more concerned about the political aspects of how we would be received and whether the people would really get to be able to enjoy us and express it, which they did. But it took 2 years to put it together because they sent three delegations, the Soviets did, to make sure that this would all work and there was no hidden agendas that any of us had about maybe being political in the event.
Soviet officials came and saw their live shows.
Three different locations, right.
And realized, well, there's nothing political about this.
No, they asked us to take out all the gospel things and anything that referred to Jesus. But the guys closed the show with Have a Little Talk with Jesus, and everybody loved it. So,
how many weeks were the guys able to perform over there?
We did 19 days of performance in 21 days. We were there for 3 weeks.
And then an invite to come back again.
Right. That took another long period of time. So we were there in 76. The next tour was in 1988.
Did they have venues that were good?
Oh, yeah, but we mainly played sports venues. We played one theater, the Rossiya Theater in Moscow, which was a large theater, seated 6,000 people. And that was like for a regular concert. The rest of them were all sports venues that would seat 18,000 to 20,000 people. Those things are never as good as if you're sitting in a theater watching this show.
You did so many firsts. I mean, to think that I'm going to bring country music to Soviet Union. I'm going to bring a country performer to Carnegie Hall.
And Radio City Music.
Yes.
And so, Royal Albert Hall in London.
A lot of people had to put you down or say, come on. Why, for instance, Carnegie Hall?
If you're good enough to play Carnegie Hall, you're good enough to play anywhere. We actually lost money playing Carnegie Hall. We were sold out. But you go in there, it's the prestige. There's some things you do that money's not connected with. So not only did the guys work for nothing when we played Carnegie Hall, we had to be funded as well, too, because you sell someplace out and you're still in the hole. I went to a gentleman that had a number of venues beside New York, James Niederlander. They're one of the big landholders in New York. They probably own 12 theaters up there. But they also own theaters in Phoenix and Detroit. They call sheds, you know, because they're half outdoors. I asked him if he wanted to co-sponsor this with me. I said, they're going to cost a little money, but we'll have some fun doing it, and we'll get a lot of press and publicity out of it. So he did. The poster says James H. Niederlander and Jim Halsey. To me, that was like having Saul Hurock up there with my name, Mr. Niederlander. And he's still alive today, and he lives in Phoenix. But we did that show, and we not only recorded it for an album, but it was the first time that had ever been recorded for an album and broadcast at the same time. Plus, it was just a natural event. We did that on a number of 50,000-watt stations, including KVOO at that time in Tulsa, WBAP in Fort Worth, and KWKH in Shreveport. We had, I think, 20 stations that broadcast that live performance.
Who were the acts in that?
That one was Hank Thompson, Roy Clark, Freddie Fender, and Don Williams. All Dot Records. Because we had to have all one record company to help us pay for this thing.
I may be wrong in my thinking here, but while you're doing all these things for country, we have Nashville over here, and I don't know if you were operating from Nashville at all.
No, we operated from Tulsa. Tulsa was our headquarters.
Right. So are there Nashville people saying, what is this Jim Halsey doing? Did any of that stuff go on?
Yes, it did. And a lot of that happened more after our ranch parties. Because we would have those ranch parties at the end of September. And the big fair meeting, where all the fairs in America get together in Las Vegas, was always the end of November. Well, most of those fair buyers, by the time they got to the fair buying meeting in November, had already been to our ranch party and bought a Halsey Company act. So out of that came an event that they put together in Nashville that happens in October. And it's still now, and it kind of turns into the CMA week and the CMA broadcast, which they broadcast on television. But I didn't do it thinking about any of that. I thought about only my artists. My main responsibility were to the artists that I represented. So I didn't think about competition. I didn't think about somebody else doing something else. I only stayed focused on what I was doing. You start worrying too much about what that other guy is doing, and you lose focus of what you're doing yourself.
The Grand Ole Opry had been going on, what, in the 20s?
Yeah, it still is, and still successful, and I have the Oak Ridge Boys appear on it, and Roy appears on it a lot, too. It's apples and oranges. We're not in the same business that they were.
Explain that to me.
We were in a very sophisticated sales and marketing approach to selling our acts. They just happened to be country music artists.
So there is a distinct difference there.
Right.
So it's interesting, you didn't feel you need to go to the Grand Ole Opry and be associated with them to do your thing.
Well, but they're friends of mine. And I've been on that board of the Country Music Association a number of years. It's just I was doing something different than they were.
And you were accepted by them. Maybe others began to say, you know what, this Halsey guy out in Oklahoma is doing something. We ought to pay attention to him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they did. I didn't even think about that. I thought about what we were doing with our artists.